T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Well, we got to turn the mic on, don't we? Congratulations, you made it through your work day. And we are here to let you know the stories you need to know. And it looks like to us that the Houston Texans have dodged a bullet. We had Bill O'Brien on this station and in the loop earlier, and he spoke about what was the 3 o'clock deadline in the NFL of players that can opt out due to COVID. This was the latest at that time, and at 3 o'clock, it did not change from this.
Yeah, we had one opt-out, Eddie Vanderdoes. Have not heard from any other players. We respect those types of decisions and the process that goes into those decisions. Everyone is here. Everyone's reported. Some guys are in different phases of, not many, but, you know, different phases of corona testing and physicals and things like that. But everybody's here.
That's from the boss, Bill O'Brien. And it looks like they have a bit of advantage because a lot of other teams got hit much harder and a lot of AFC teams that could be battling for playoff spots with the Texans got hit.
Yeah, look, man, I mean, this is a double-edged sword, right? I mean, you don't want to celebrate the fact that you don't have anybody because it's not a bad thing if somebody decides to take care of themselves or their family before the game of football. But it definitely provides an advantage for a football team that doesn't lose any superstar players, and you don't lose a chunk of players. Like New England lost superstars and damn near 10 players. I mean, I don't know how you replace the depth. I don't know how you replace the production. Kansas City lost a couple of true blue, guys that just flat out contribute.
Guard and their starting running back.
Yeah, I mean, so those are guys that are hard. You work your tail off all offseason to find these kinds of guys and develop them to where they contribute, and I'll be damned if Kansas City didn't lose two of them. So two teams that are on the Texans roster, I mean, on the Texans schedule, they took serious hits in terms of their players opting out, and the Texans dodged a serious bullet losing Eddie Vanderdoes, who's a guy that
I don't think was going to
probably wasn't going to make the team. He was added last year. I think when the slew of injuries hit the defense last year, up front, more of a nose guard, D tackle type of guy, probably wasn't going to make the team, and so he opts out. So the Texans, man, they got lucky. They dodged a big time bullet here,
and it ended up being 65 players total in the NFL that opted out. As we said, the Texans only had one. Dante Hightower appeared to be the top guy out of that. And the crazy part is, man, this hits the team after the draft, right? Yeah. After the draft and after a lot of free agency where the big pieces are gone, and now you got to try to put stuff together. So huge losses for some teams. The Texans, they were able to take advantage or have an advantage of not having big players leave.
5 o'clock fire.
This is also coming from Kirby, and this was first reported by Aaron Wilson, that linebacker, free agent linebacker Brandon Marshall, took a physical at a local hospital in the Houston area today, and he had a visit with the Texans, still in town, and this was probably about 30 minutes ago, still in town at this time. Now, look, he's not a big-time move-the-needle guy, but this was a talented linebacker. He's 30 years old, a talented linebacker with the Broncos and the Raiders. Missed last year, but We'll see. They're bringing them in. They're taking a physical. When teams are trying to get down to the number 80, the Texans brought in a potential linebacker that they may sign.
Well, yeah, you got to believe that they're any time a veteran player that can contribute, it becomes available and is a good fit, you got to believe the Texans are going to flip that stone. When I look at Brandon Marshall, I don't know how much gas he's got left in the tank or tread he's got left on the tires, but I know this, in a 3-4 scheme like the Texans play predominantly, you can never have enough veteran linebackers. You can never have enough linebackers. And in 2020, with COVID-19 and all the restrictions, the limitations that coaches have had in terms of coaching up players, you can never have enough veterans. So I think Brandon Marshall is a good fit for the Texans in two different ways, other than the fact that you just don't know how much football he's got left in the tank. Otherwise, he appears to be a good fit.
Yeah, not even knowing if he's going to make the roster, but they're taking a physical, bringing him in. It's a pretty good sign that they at least want to take a look at him leading up to September 10th when the season starts.
5 o'clock fire.
News coming out from the Astros today. As we discussed the other day, little shot Rob Manfred is taking rosters down in Major League Baseball from 30 to 28, and it will be 28 the rest of the year. So all teams had to make a move. Well, the Astros made a move. They made a move to option Brian Abreu down and also the speedy Jack Mayfield down to get the roster to 28. So those two guys were sent down. Also, a little side news, Yordan Alvarez is taking BP in Corpus Christi. And also, Jose Urquidy is throwing off the mound for the first time. So those updates. But they got down to 28. Brian Abreu, Jack Mayfield sent down to Corpus.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I don't think that's, you know, with Brian Abreu and Jack Mayfield, the Astros, I don't believe, are going to miss either one of those guys. Maybe Brian Abreu, just from a sense of a young arm in the pen that's got some good stuff. Can't really rely on it, obviously, at this point. According to Dusty Baker, he came in out of shape, overweight.
Yeah, Dusty came in and said that he was thinking too much out there and things snowballed, and he also came in summer camp overweight and out of shape.
Yeah, so now's just not the time for Dusty to deal with whatever Brian Abreu's bringing to the table. And then Jack Mayfield, a little bit of a surprise. I can't believe they're sending that speed back down to Corpus Christi.
I mean, he's no Miles Straw. But the only other thing is he was the backup shortstop.
Yeah.
He was the backup shortstop. And until Elitmus Diaz comes back, and Dusty the other day said that it would be a couple weeks with him before he comes back, those infielders, they're going to be playing every day. Right? They're going to be playing every day. No pinch running. I mean, I don't know that Bregman and Correa would get pinch ran for anyway. But Los, your job, baby. Every single day. Every day, baby. He got a day off last week. So that's the only thing about Jack Mayfield. And really, you can kiss everybody's ass, Rob. There's no reason for you to take these numbers down from 30 to 28 with all the outbreaks you're seeing.
Absolutely not.
And with the arms and pitching arms that people are missing.
Little.
Shot Rod has done it again.
Makes absolutely no sense. You know, they made an adjustment afterwards saying that I believe now through the playoffs, I think there was going to be another cut at some point in time the rest of the Major League Baseball season. Why didn't you stop it at 30?
Yeah, they were going to go to 26 again. I feel like Rob is.
With everything that's going on, the injuries, because the Astros, they've been hit the hardest with injuries, no doubt about it, whether you're talking about the number of guys that have been injured or the caliber of contributor that's been injured with Verlander and Osuna. The Astros have been hit harder than anybody, but I think league-wide, between guys deciding not to play and injuries and strained arms, sore muscles, it just makes no sense to cut the roster at that point in time. If you're going to make the adjustment from 30, I mean, if you're not going to make the adjustment that's scheduled for later in the season from 28 to whatever number they were going to, why in the hell cut from 30? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Especially when you got to see the start of the season.
Well, you got Miami out there. You got Miami Marlins are just trying to find enough guys that got a heartbeat to play a game.
The Cardinals.
And by the way, they won a couple, I think.
Yeah, and the Cardinals. But the big thing is the injuries. We've seen arms. Like, it, almost every team's been affected by this. Good God Almighty. It makes – like, he's Like, Rob's just not too much about doing right. That's where Rob is.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, tonight the Astros go, but also the Rockets. And this was supposed to be a big matchup. TNT was really pumped about this. It is on TNT at 8 o'clock tonight. Lakers, LeBron, and AD take on Harden and Westbrook. Woo! LeBron's not playing, and I'd be shocked off my ass if Anthony Davis plays more than 15 minutes tonight, if he even does play. Word on the street, and I know Tyler had said this, that Westbrook's play may be in question tonight. Not sure if he goes. So an exciting game at first means a game, Clint, that the damn Rockets can't lose.
Well, last time we said that was yesterday with Lance McCullers facing the Arizona Diamondbacks, so I don't want to put this show curse on the Rockets.
There's not
as well.
A show curse.
I meant the show, like our show. No, I didn't about
not,
you.
I don't believe that's how you
mean. Golly.
It's not always about
it's
you,
It's not always
show.
About you,
that's
show.
That's when you said it. Yes, it
damn,
is.
Man.
We're a team, man.
God, Tyler.
Golly, it's unbelievable.
You want to go get Clint some water right now?
Hold on.
God almighty, man.
Hey, it's, you know, I don't want to put the show curse on these guys, man, but you're right. I mean, this is a, you got to believe there's still a very slim chance that the Rockets could jack around and end up in the seven seed. Although it's slim. It would take the wheels coming completely off for it to happen. But this is a game with LeBron not playing, AD probably not playing, where, man, if the Rockets could go out there and grab this thing, it would make the last four games of this eight-game regular season that's left. It would allow them to coast through that and get some guys healthy and fresh.
And they don't have anything clinched. The Lakers have first place in the West clinched. But the Rockets still could mathematically be in the seventh spot. And they don't want to do that. We've heard all the experts we've talked to, from Ryan McDonough, Scalabrine, say they want to avoid the Clippers. That's the toughest matchup, is the Clippers for the Rockets. It is still not a guarantee that you won't get in the seventh. Not likely, but still not a guarantee. Go get these wins. Go get these wins. And it's not like the Rockets have this small ball thing all figured out, yeah, and they've got this. Yeah. They only play probably 20 games, maybe, not even 20, and completely switch into this. So I think they could still run some kinks out of this.
Well, we talked a lot about during the pandemic, the four-month delay in the NBA season, a lot about, you know, several things that the Rockets could gain an advantage of with this delay. And I think one of them was Mike D'Antoni's ability to go to the drawing board. You got 15 games that you can watch and figure out who you need to coach up and what areas to really take the small ball to the next level. Reality is three games coming off of a four-month layoff. Three games is not enough for Mike D'Antoni to have coached guys up and seen them execute what it is he wants to execute, and to the point where he's convinced it's time to take the foot off the gas. I agree with you, Shaw. I think this is a game you got to go win. And if you do clinch a six seed or better at any point in time, then you take your foot off the gas and you coast in and make sure everybody's healthy and fresh.
I know P.J. Tucker better not have the night off.
Why not?
P.J. Tucker need to get some shots. He need to get some
P.J. don't get his, man. You ain't got to worry about P.J. Tucker. One thing, it's like Springer getting hits, like old Dusty was sure about Springer getting hits. Dusty's going to knock down that corner three. But I mean, Dusty's going to knock. P.J. Tucker's going to knock. Tuck's going to knock down that corner three.
Dusty knocks. That's a Baker bomb.
Yes, the corner three, Dusty from the corner, Baker bomb, baby.
That's how PJ has looked, the way he has shot threes.
Oh, listen
like
at you.
Like a 72-year-old
I ain't going to let you treat PJ Tucker like you do.
PJ Tucker was like 2 for 11.
You didn't like the fact that he brought you 91 pair of shoes. I am not going to let you.
Problem with that.
You're not going to treat PJ Tucker the way you treat Redick.
I'm just being honest. PJ need to get some jumpers up. That's the last person.
They're set shots. He's not jumping. They're set shots.
Well, whatever. He need to get some practice in. All right. Bill O'Brien spoke to the media, and he talked about a couple of things. For this offense to reach its peak, they have to change from last year. What do you hear what that is coming up next?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Lineup's coming up a little bit later. Can't wait for that. You missed that. Lineup's coming up a little bit later. There are a couple of things that the Texans have to get better at. And Bill O'Brien, you like to hear, didn't shy away from them. It's not all good, man. I know me and you are really up on this offensive line. But we cannot hide away from the fact that there is some issues that they have to get better
with. No question.
And Bill O'Brien's not trying to hide away from that. And he addresses one of the number one things that not only we believe needs to change, you all let us know needs to change. Here's Bill O'Brien on issues that needs to change with the offensive line.
I think the other thing we've been working hard on right from the start is line of scrimmage penalties, penalties that we feel like we can control. You know, so we've worked a lot on operation in all three phases, and we've got to do a better job than we did last year on that.
It feels like he's speaking to one guy. He feels like he's speaking to the guy who is the left tackle for the Houston Texans, a guy that, you know, one of the first things I learned when I got here? Laremy Tunsil always jumps off sides. Yeah. I kept seeing that on the text line coming up.
How could you pay a guy that kind of money who jumps off sides?
How good
is
he?
I'll tell you how.
How good is he? He jumps off sides. But it's a real, real complaint, and it is unacceptable for him, Clint, to lead the league in false starts.
Yeah, look, I think he's got 14 false start penalties. He led the league with 17 total penalties last year, and so he's got to get that cleaned up. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think Bill O'Brien there made a very good business decision to not single out Laremy Tunsil. But ultimately, of the starting five, I would say that Laremy Tunsil's penalty issues, false start issues, when you're talking about pre-snap penalties, before action starts, you know, those kind of penalties are, I mean, they will absolutely kill you. And there's no doubt about it that Laremy Tunsil is the one that is the focal point. Now, he's the one that gets flagged. I mean, here's the thing with Laremy Tunsil's false start penalties is it's clearly a disconnect between him, the center Nick Martin, and the quarterback Deshaun Watson. This is not a Laremy Tunsil problem. This is a three-man problem, and it consists of the quarterback, the center, and the left tackle. And now, some will say we talked to Wade Smith, who, when I need anything about offensive line play, any kind of breakdown, Wade Smith's the guy to go to. And to hear Wade tell it, it's very highly likely that Nick Martin doesn't hear the cadence as quickly as Laremy Tunsil. And so the snap is late in terms of when the cadence comes out of Deshaun Watson's mouth. It could be an inconsistent cadence from the quarterback. It could be just a quick trigger by the left tackle. Either way it goes, there's three guys involved, and they just absolutely have to figure this thing out. You cannot – I mean, these are drive killers when you go from first and 10 to first and 15. I mean, it's an absolute drive killer when that becomes a problem. And so they've got to get this thing figured out, and just – I just want to caution people – to not consider this simply a Tunsil issue. It's deeper than just a Tunsil issue. It's one of his problems, but it's an issue that's got to get fixed by multiple people.
No, boss, I need you to help me on this.
Okay.
I need you to help me out on this because now I play ball. When I hear 14 false start penalties on one guy, like to me, I'm like, hey, man, what you doing, Doug? But you played in the league. You said it's a three-part issue, Nick Martin and the quarterback. If you were the quarterback, what would you be doing? What would you be saying to your left tackle if you're saying you're a part of it? Because when I hear it, man, I got you maybe three or four. But 14?
Yeah.
That feels like one person.
Well, this is an ongoing problem. So this isn't a conversation that Deshaun Watson and Laremy Tunsil had for the first time a month ago. I mean, this is something that going through the season was a problem. It was talked about on national TV about Laremy Tunsil. It's not a secret that there was a problem there. So I got to believe that the film has been broken down to a point of where they know, is Nick Martin snap late or is Laremy Tunsil quick triggered? Or was there just some poor officiating along the way? I'm going to tell you another thing, talking to Wade Smith, former NFL offensive lineman, 12-year NFL vet, and former Houston Texan. I mean, he brought the film in here one day and was like, Clint, watch this. You tell me this is a false start. And he's literally moving the ball. I mean, they're moving at the exact same time, and he's getting flagged. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of several things. I think the Texans have have broken it down literally to the millisecond to figure out what in the hell is going on. My point is, show whatever in the hell it is, it's on Deshaun Watson to go out there and go through live cadence drills. If they've got to, I don't care if they've got to put a defensive end over there to rush against Laremy Tunsil, have Nick Martin snapping the football, and Deshaun Watson working his cadence to get it right. I don't care how they fix it. Deshaun Watson's cadence maybe needs to be a little bit more rhythmic. Nick Martin maybe needs to snap the ball a little bit quicker. Laremy Tunsil maybe needs to learn that Nick Martin's just not, he consistently hears things a little bit slower than you do, and so you got to delay your get off. All of those are major issues if they don't come together and figure it out.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley here. Bill O'Brien acknowledged it himself. He said, these pre-snap false start penalties have to get better, and it feels like this is Tunsil. To me, everything you're explaining, I'll be shocked off my ass if that doesn't improve. That has to improve. Those are, and let's think about the three, and then you can add Max as well, Max Sharpling, the guard over there, the left guard over there. They're smart guys that should be able to fix this. That should be able to fix this, because I initially thought maybe it has to do more with the fact that Tunsil arrived so late and there was no real continuity between those three parts, the left tackle, left guard, and the center, not to mention the quarterback, the cadence, how that could be. I thought that was a lot of it. But to me, I don't think there is any explanation or excuse now this year if this continues to be a problem.
Not with Laremy Tunsil's talent. I mean, because he's a guy that doesn't need it. You know, if it was Titus Howard and defenses do what a lot of defenses will do, and they take Von Miller and say, we're going to bring Von Miller to Deshaun's right because we would rather him rush against Titus Howard all night long instead of Laremy Tunsil, and he was struggling with Von Miller, then maybe, hey, you get a couple of false start penalties. I get it. You're trying to protect the quarterback. That's not the case. There's nobody in this league that Laremy Tunsil needs to false start in order to
block. That's what I say. It didn't seem like fear, like many of them were fear things. No. Let me get back.
There's definitely a disconnect between quarterback, center, and tackle. It's not a Laremy Tunsil. There is a disconnect somewhere in the normal process. It has nothing to do with talent. It has everything to do with a disconnect of the cadence, the ball, the timing. It's a timing issue is the best way to put it. I'll say this, though. One thing that Deshaun Watson has to do, and I know in today's NFL, a lot of times they don't use cadences the way that we used to use snap counts, but a lot of it's on Deshaun Watson. I mean, Deshaun Watson early in games, if in the first drive, like last year would not have been a good idea in the first drive to go on a hard three, right? Because now you've got Laremy Tunsil, who the last thing you want him doing is going, because he's 8 days into the offense. The last thing you want him doing is going up there trying to block Cam Jordan in an offense that he's had 8 days to learn, trying to remember what the snap count is, right? The last thing you want Max Sharping doing as a rookie going up against those guys is to worry about what the snap count is. So there was a reason last year, early in the season, to keep it vanilla, stay on one or stay on a silent count and move forward. As the quarterback develops and the players develop and mature around Deshaun Watson, he should use his snap count in the first drive. If he gives them a good hard two or a good hard three snap count show in the first drive, now you got those guys hesitant to really try to beat the snap and try to time the snap because they know that you got a good hard count. And so that's part of a quarterback developing. That's part of taking the next step for Deshaun Watson that we talk about all the time. That will help with this problem as well.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader. Whatever it is, it should be fixed. And there are fans out there who don't. Yeah, the fans out there. Okay, here you go.
Wide 80. Red 22.
Go ahead, get it again. Get your three. Get it out your system.
This is three right
Stand
here.
Stand up here. Really get your hands.
Blue 20. Blue 20.
He's looking at the folks.
It's got to bite the mic. That's how you got to do it. And then little slow delay. Bam. Get him off the ball, baby. If you go on a hard two, it's wide 80. Wide 80.
Hut. Looking around, folks.
Hold on, Clint.
Or you can hit him with the hut right after the 80. Wide 80. Wide 80. Hut. and like he's trying to scare him.
I think you should incorporate.
John Elway was a beast.
I think you should incorporate this in your personal life with Lowe.
I do. When she bends over to get something out of the ice box, I put my hands in her butt.
I think you should.
Yeah, I put my hands in her butt. Wide 80, wide 80. Ho, check, check. With her, though, always audible. Check, check. Red 22. Red, easy, easy.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, hit her with the old Omaha.
Wouldn't that be fun in a position change if you just came out with that wide 80 in a position change? What the hell's going on with this nut?
Red
80.
Red 69.
Red. Motion. Hot route.
Show looks like he had old cramp in the right quad right there.
I don't need no damn folks. Gonna be a nice position change to switch. Wide 80. Hey,
she'd be like, to hell with that shift. Just snap the ball.
You know you have a real good one if she just went with it. All right. Yeah, where we go?
Run the play, Clint.
Where are we going next? This is square.
You know you got a good one when you go in there. You go, check Wyatt 80. She's like, Mike, 55. Mike 55.
55's the mic. 55's the mic.
Oh, shoot. I tell you what, I didn't know. I was going to give you a couple. I was going to give you a hard two and a hard three. I didn't know I was going to get into all
that.
That's interesting.
Just give it hard. All right, here we go. The Texans, in a very, very strange way, they gained a real advantage against other teams in the AFC. We'll express what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Yeah, that's my old girlfriend.
I love the text line here. From the text line, 713, call your woman wide in the middle of a position change and see what happens.
Not wide. It's color number. White 80. Yeah, white black 80. 80. Green 22. It's not wide. You might want to explain that to her, or you may not. Just don't use the color white, and then you won't have that problem.
I don't know if that'd be good for me either. Position change. Hey, white.
Yeah, that would. She probably would. Courtney probably wouldn't appreciate that. She'd be like, wait, white who? White who?
White, where is she?
Wait, where's she at? Where you been, show?
Amber?
Show prep my ass. Where you been, show? Show leaving the house every day at 10. Show prep my ass. Where you been?
No, man. The Texans, I think they got a real advantage. At 3 o'clock today, Clint, as we know, the NFL said that is the deadline. By the way, they moved that puppy up. And there were some players who were not happy about the fact they had moved that time frame up because it wasn't supposed to be Thursday. The NFL, they kind of changed it up and moved it a couple weeks. Who's the safety that didn't opt out for the Patriots? Oh, he's got a twin. McCourty. He was really hot about it. He did an interview, thought it was really, really unfair that they moved it up because they were trying to limit how many people are going to opt out. But 3 o'clock was the deadline. 65 players in the NFL ended up opting out. And the Texans were good, man. Only Eddie Vanderduce was the only player for the Texans to opt out. All of their players are in camp, according to Bill O'Brien. And that is a big advantage, especially when you look at other AFC powers and AFC teams like the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a team that everyone's chasing, thinking to be the best team. They lost two starters on their offense, a right guard and a running back. The Patriots, they have a slew. They've lost starting middle linebacker and Hightower, starting safety and Patrick Chung, a starting tight end and Matt LaCrosse, a starting right tackle and Cannon, and then four other guys that are on their roster. They lost a lot of players, and the Texans, as of now, don't have any losses. Only one player that really thought wasn't going to make the team. That come in a league, Clint, where it is a touchdown game, any advantage, that is an advantage right now you would look at for the Texans.
Yeah. Well, you look at this season, man. I mean, the veteran, you know, leadership, the veteran presence on this team is obviously going to be an advantage. I mean, they had 5 draft picks this year. And just from a roster standpoint, you're going to be loaded with guys that aren't rookies. That's going to be a positive. Now here, this comes down the pipe where this is obviously unique to the 2020 season. and it's going to end up being a positive for the Texans. And man, I mean, this is one of those deals where you got to tip your cap to Bill O'Brien for what he's created. Not that he saw this coming down the pipe at all, but you're talking about creating an unbelievable culture, talking about creating and really developing really high-end veteran leadership. These are all things that are proved. They're always big in football, but we don't talk about them much. But because it's 2020 and COVID-19 is still a major problem in this country, obviously, a major concern in this country, these are things that are going to end up giving the Texans a big advantage.
Clint, I think you could argue it goes past just Bill O'Brien. Like, say what you want to say, they have created a level of trust from their players to what the organization is doing to try to protect people from and keep people as safe as possible with this. The Texans have spent the most money out of any team in the league to try to transform their facilities to make it safer. They are doing things. They've completely put brand new flooring in this that makes it easier to clean. Now you have to come in with face recognition to enter the place. Like, they have spent as much more money than anybody else and have taken this thing outside of maybe the Saints, who are going to a small bubble right now. But outside of that, there's no organization that has put more resources into trying to keep their facilities and their players as protected. I think it's not a coincidence that there's more trust with the Texans players in their facilities than maybe some other spots.
Well, they've definitely done a hell of a job in a sense of making the wife and the kids at home, and dad at home.
That's a lot about work.
I mean, they've made it easy for those individuals to say, hey, man, look, you're with an organization that on a day-to-day basis has done more than anybody in the league to keep you safe, which ultimately is going to keep the family safe. And so, barring any kind of health risk that you just can't take the chance, whether it's the player personally or it's his kids or it's his wife or it's anybody in their immediate family, barring that right there, the Texans have done more to give reasons for players to opt in versus opting out than any team in the league. And so you got to tip your cap to the Texans for that. You got to tip your cap to Cal McNair, Janice McNair, the family for writing that check, because they didn't have to. I mean, they could have done the bare minimum and moved on and business as usual, but the fact that they've done more is awfully impressive.
I don't know how much that played a role with some players for the Texans.
No doubt.
But it certainly helped it. I would think that. It certainly helped it, because I would imagine some players that did opt out, once again, 65 players across the league decided to opt out. Maybe a bit of a trust on how things are going to be handled may have been part of that. Clint Sterner and the show here with you. The Astros lineups are out. We'll get to that.
Can't wait.
In a bit. And Clint, I wanted to push this to you because the GOAT, when it comes to quarterbacks, Tom Brady, he'd have made me real nervous for guys like Ross Blacklock and guys like John Gannard and the rest of the rookies for the Texans and the rest of the rookies across the league. He's come out and said this. He said, man, learning this playbook has been really tough for him. This is the guy who's played for 20 years in the National Football League, one of the smartest players, the GOAT. Once again, this is him in particular. He said, okay.
Is that a sheep or a goat?
I don't know what
it's
it is.
It's a sheep noise, wasn't it?
Tyler just needs to give himself 10. he said, I really haven't had to do this in 19 years, so I forgot how tough it really is to learn different terminologies, Brady said on Thursday. You're going back a very long time in my career, really, where I've had to put this type of mental energy in learning something. If it's hard for him, these rookies haven't been able to be around. I guess they've had their playbook. It's hard for him. Bill said this is going to be a veteran-type season.
Yeah.
And this makes me concerned. If Tom is having a problem with it, what is Ross Blacklock
having? Well, the thing that Tom has to do is it's not about one guy. Tom has to figure out where everybody aligns and what everybody's assignment is, and he's got to communicate all of the above with each one of those players, and then he's got to know what those players are going to do according to what the defense does. So yeah, I don't doubt that this is unfamiliar territory for Tom Brady in any way, shape, or form. He hadn't done it in 19 years, but I don't look at this and go, man, you know, I thought Tom was.
You think he's lying? You think he's putting on a little bit?
I think he's being dramatic. I think Tom's a dramatic dude. I think it's, you know, I think Bruce Arians has come out and said that he wasn't going to change the terminology. He wasn't going to ask every other offensive guy in the locker room to learn a new terminology just to make Tom comfortable, which I believe that I would meet in the middle somewhere. That's how important I think the quarterback, you know, having a really, really good grasp of things is. It doesn't matter how well everybody else knows the offense. If the guy that's catching the snap, that's touching four panels and eight laces every time you snap the ball and making a decision, if he's uncomfortable, if he doesn't know where the hell to go to the ball or how to protect himself, then you've got major problems. So I would imagine they're going to meet in the middle somewhere, show. But it's this ain't something that I don't look at it now and go, man, the Bucs were, man, I had them going to the Super Bowl now. You know, no, I don't know. I'm not worried about
it. I just looked at it from a standpoint of if he is struggling, somebody who has been in the league, I wonder what rookies are struggling or going through in the league. Hell, especially like quarterbacks, like Joe Burrow. I understand it's more that he has to deal with, but.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, yeah, Burrow's got an uphill battle. There's no doubt about it. But
I guess I'm gonna pose to you, like, how different is it learning a college playbook?
Oh, it's night and day.
Okay,
it's night and day.
Because you've done this. This was
No, it's night and day, man. I mean, there is so much information in a professional in an NFL playbook that just doesn't consist in college. I mean, college for the most part is keep it simple, play fast. You know, that's just. The best teams do that really, really, really well. And now there's some teams that you get a quarterback. And, like, I remember at Arkansas when Dan Enos was there. Dan Enos runs a pretty complicated system. But he got Brandon Allen and Austin Allen, the two brothers that were a coach's son and were raised in football. They were quarterbacks. They were a little bitty. And they're very cerebral guys. So they could do more. So they ran a more sophisticated offense. Well, then, you know, they had the ability to dumb things down if a guy couldn't do those kind of things. But for the most part, it's keep it simple, play fast, man. And when you get to the league, they go, hey, here's the playbook. And, hell, the most difficult aspect of a playbook show is protections because it's a moving needle, right? I mean, you look at protections, and if what you have called, you could know the protection – know who's picked up, and you look over there and you go, uh-oh, I don't have an answer for what they're fixing to do. So you better know the playbook well enough to immediately go to a protection that protects you or make the adjustment and throw the football where you're supposed to throw it. So the more – you just have to know so much more than just the black and white of the playbook. You've got to be able to adjust.
Is that just quarterback or any position?
Quarterbacks and receivers for the most part. Tight ends are tough because you got to learn the blocking schemes in the run game and the pass game. But the receivers, I think quarterback, obviously, zero doubt about it, is the most – I mean, you're no dummy if you're learning a NFL playbook at the quarterback position. That's a monster. The receiver position, I would say, is – the second toughest, just because there's so many different movements, shifts, motions, alignments. And like I told you last time, show we watch the game and you go, well, that receiver's to the right and he's splitting the difference between the tackle and the wide receiver. Well, no, he's numbers minus one. You know, the next play, he's numbers plus one. The next play, he's top of the numbers. Next play, he's bottom of the numbers. Next day, he's, you know, he's 4 yards off the sideline. It's just a constant we don't see those differences when you're watching the game, but every play there's so many details. Receivers, really, I'd go quarterback, tight end, receiver in order of the most difficult positions to learn.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, Tom Brady out here struggling.
Tom ain't struggling.
He ain't struggling. He's just putting up.
Tom, literally, he ain't struggling. No,
I'm about to say, like, Philip Rivers, Tom, like, I wouldn't think they was gonna really have a fight with the playbook and understanding it, but whatever. Tom's coming out and saying that. All right, remember, behind us, Texans All Access with Mark and John coming up behind us, and so you don't want to miss that. Lineups before them. Real quick, this coming as Dusty spoke to the media earlier, and Josh James as well. Josh James says he is disappointed that he is getting moved from the bullpen, and That's a shocking thought. Josh says he knows that he'd still be in the rotation had he played, had he thrown bone better.
That's safe. Hell, ain't nobody got a for sure spot except for McCullers and Greinke.
Had a champ, baby. Yeah, you're right. And then he said, the team needs me in the bullpen. That's where I will be. That's Josh James, man. That's what I said, man. Yesterday, I think he can be a force and a weapon out there. The thing that I'm concerned with is his mindset. Has he flipped the switch of, all right, like, yeah, he's disappointed. I think he's very disappointed. Because I remember how excited he was and how much he worked in the offseason and two starts out of there.
This is going to be a big-time challenge for him, obviously, mentally, like you said, is to bounce down there. I mean, the kid's got great stuff. There's no debating Amazing. That. I mean, it's just one of those things where can he get out of his own way, right? I mean, can you swallow your pride enough at this point in time in your career and say, hey, man, I missed the opportunity to be a starter with the Houston Astros, and they currently need me in a different way. I'm going to close the door on being a starter and go to middle relief and do the best that I can. And can he do that and then realize that, hey, that may be the lane that you need to stay in, man? I mean, that may be right where you need to be. Like you said, Show, you said it, hell, from the jump, that he was a better fit in the pen. He's better throwing two pitches than he is throwing four pitches. And he's better going two innings instead of trying to go five or six. And he's better seeing the lineup once instead of two or three times. And so, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where Josh James, to me, just has to he has to swallow the rough outings and just go, you know, go own the fact that you got an opportunity to be in the pen and see if it's not, you know, right up your alley.
That's what I'm talking about. Earlier, we were talking about what would you accept tonight from Brandon Bielak, who is going to get his first start? I said four innings and four runs or less. I don't think he's stretched out that much. Look at Josh James for those of you who are coming at me about my four innings. Like, oh, that's an ERA up a nine. I understand that. But look at Josh James. He's out there giving you three innings, grand slams. I mean, come on, man. Just think about what the Astros have been getting. So, hell yeah, Brandon Bielak tonight, as you said, throw strikes. Don't walk people
That's it.
Like Josh James.
That's it.
Man, give him a chance.
I want to see great command of your pitches. And then on the back end of it, if he can give you five, I think he's exceeded expectations. And if he can keep them four runs or less, I think he's exceeded expectations. And with this lineup versus this particular Arizona Diamondbacks team, the Astros should win that game. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they need to. They have to take two of three in this series. And Lance, if that man goes five innings tonight, and Christian Javier before you went six strong, and if Brandon Bielak goes five innings tonight, you couldn't get out of the fourth. You having to pick it up is beyond it. And then making excuses, coming out saying, "Oh, they opened up the roof." It's ass. Come on now. All right, big one tonight. And let's do it, baby. Let's get these Astros lineups out as they get set to go and get this series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And leading off, thank God he's back in center field. Number four in your program, but number one in your closet. The center fielder, George Springer. He's getting hot, by the way. And batting second. And playing second, he may be 5'6", but baby, he carries the big stick. Mr. Shake, Rattle, and Roll coming at you, baby. Jose Altuve. And batting third and playing third, Mr. Swagtastic himself, a.k.a. Nino Brown, a.k.a. my brother's keeper. Hell yeah, you are the real AB, Alex Bregman. And thank God he is back. The designated hitter. Oh, my God, Mr. Professional. I said Mr. Professional. He hails from Bellevue, Washington. The DH, Michael Brantley. And Bradding fifth, the first baseman. He is Mr. Championship Hair, Cuba's finest. The first baseman, Yuli Gurriel. And shortstop, don't you dare call him Carlos. That's Mr. Los to you. That's Mr. She knows. The shortstop, Los Correa. And batting seventh in right field from Savannah, Georgia, Josh Reddick. Woo! And batting eighth in left fielder. Don't you add that. Batting left. Batting eighth, the left fielder. Show loves him some Tampa Tuck. Oh, Tampa Tuck. I can't call him Ted. Get another homer tonight, Tip. Kyle Tucker. And rounding out the catcher, the blonde bomber. That's Mr. Machete to you, Martin Maldonado. Touch them all, Astros. They got to win this one tonight, baby. Come on, man. Now you can't lose the series to the Diamondbacks.
No, you can't. Look, I understand that the pitching staff right now is there's major concern across the board. Tonight is a night where there's a lot of unknown with Belak throwing, and God knows who coming out of the bullpen. And by the way, don't know who in the hell is going to close either. Hopefully it's Bulldog Taylor. But when it's all said and done, this is a lineup. As we said, they had scored the fewest runs in Major League Baseball before last night. They'd hit two home runs before last night. Don't let last night happen again. This is a team that the Astros should be able to piece together a start. They should be able to piece together a few innings out of the pen, and they should be able to close this thing out. Get the bats hot and let's ride.
From the text line, yeah, Tyler, give him the woo every damn time. No.
Woo!
Stop that, man. Woo! Man, Tyler, great job tonight. Clint as well. I am Ron, the show, Ugly Houston. As always, we love you, baby. And I know it's going to be
a lovely day.
Me and Cooter Light and jump off in this pool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.